Thank you, Harry. For you. Sing it unto him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary before you. Amen and amen and amen. Be a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back to Revelation 5, where we've been reading for quite a while. And just remember now, the Lord willing, this weekend is a fellowship meeting at Brother Longora's, so make sure you let us know if you want to ride along and all with us and go with us. We'll be leaving Wade's, what, 11? 10? Leaving Wade's at 10 o'clock. Yeah, being Gainesville before 11, so if you're meeting us anywhere, let us know, and we'll pick you up, be glad to. You know, we'll take two vans if necessary, whatever we have to do, you know, for you to ride along and have a good time. So just remember that. Now talk to, I know you're praying and prayed for him, to talk to Sister Mary this afternoon there, Gabriel, and she said that the doctors thought the operation was a success as far as what they could do, you know, because they're not able to do a whole lot, but they can try to keep her eyesight from failing, and they thought it was a success. So we'll just pray that it'll just clear up and make everything all right, because that's the way to believe it, you know, and just keep on. And all said she had to go back to the doctor, I think, Friday, and also, you know, just remember that. Also, Brother Harris, I talked to him last night, and he's preaching again on Wednesday night there at the church where he's been preaching at. So, you know, just remember him in your prayers and all, and doing that. Amen. I want to thank Wade for taking over for the weekend. We had a good time. I'll just testify a little bit of it in a few minutes, but had a good time in Jamaica, and it was a good, safe trip. Everything went fine and all like that. Amen. So just remember these announcements. Father, we thank you. We love you. We know that thou art worthy, Lord, because none of us are worthy, but thou art worthy. You are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the all in all, and Jesus is your name. So as we read your word, Father, we ask that you would just come on the scene and speak to our hearts and just bless us tonight with a little, as we testify a little bit and then try to speak a few minutes about you. You just come on the scene and just have your way with us. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thy grace and love. Cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness, and help us to walk in you. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 5, we'll begin reading about verse 8 through 10. Revelation 5. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And I just thought I'd testify a little bit about the trip, and then I got a couple of items I want to cover on what we've been on, so I thought it'd be a good time just to maybe do them tonight and talk about it a little bit to make sure everybody understands what I'm saying and about these things. And but we did. I did have a good trip. Went to Atlanta and had no problems, no trouble with any flights or anything. It was all great and a wonderful, smooth ride and all. You know, a lot of times you have a little bumpy, you know, but that doesn't bother me because I'm kind of used to it and flying. But, you know, I think it was a good flight. But I got there on Thursday, and you know, after arriving, Brother Reed, we, you know, sat around and talked a while and things. But I preached on Thursday night at his church on, like I've been preached here, you know, on the bride's book. And I come to find that a good many of them there have already downloaded a lot of the messages and things in preaching. And then what I preached there, see, kind of opened up, you know, better understanding to them, even though they were listening, some of them, to the messages. And then I preached on Friday night on, like, you know, like being caught up. You got to be caught up in the revelation of the rapture. And the word rapture is not even in the Bible, but the word is caught up. So we're caught up in the rapture, you know, and that can be going on now, because that's what we're doing. We're being caught up. And they really, you know, really rejoiced to hear the things. And one brother went home and he told me Sunday, he said, I downloaded that message, and he said, I listened to it 3 times yesterday. And he said, I really enjoyed it. But, you know, it was just, it's a good time there, because there are free people to preach to. Amen. And it's not like going, it's what I told Brother Reed, it's not like going somewhere, even here in America, where you wonder what the people believe, and then you wonder how much they do believe. You know, how much of the message they believe. And so you talking to Brother Reed, Wade and I were in Oklahoma the other weekend, and I told Brother Claude, you know, I said, you need to get Brother Reed out here to preach for you, you know, when he comes sometime. And he said, well, how does he preach? I said, well, better than most of the preachers in America, you know, because everybody thinks, you know, you go into a foreign country or something like that, even to Jamaica, and that's not very far, but you go like that, and they think those people are just, you know, dummies, and they don't know nothing. But you go over there and talk with Brother Reed for a while, you'll find out he knows a lot more than you know. You've heard him preach enough to, you know, that that's true, you know. But had a wonderful time there. And then what I had done, I had promised Brother Lewis back a few years ago when Wade and I were there, and I'd promised him that I'd try to come and, you know, be with him. Well, I never had an opportunity to, and he kind of got offended at me and everything. And I told him, I said, well, I'm sorry, brother. I'm tied up as far as time and all, but, you know, it was good. We did get to go over to a place called Ginger Hill. Now, the last time Wade and I were there was when they had the tent put up, which is probably four or five years ago, and they had the tent placed there, and now they've got a church. But you'd have to know what a church over there is. It's like, it's a block building with no doors and windows in it, with a roof over it, concrete floor, and, you know, and all. And that's what they worship in. They haul their chairs in and out. They haul their sound system in and out, you know, and all, because somebody will steal it. So, you know, it's a little different it is here and all. And you know, they were asking, could we help them? And I didn't say anything. You know, I just left it alone. If anybody wants to help them to buy doors and windows, that'll be fine. But, you know, they do need them. But we just had a wonderful time fellowshipping with them. And it takes you, the island is only 158 miles. And 60 miles through. And you'd have to realize that we left it a little after 8 o'clock Sunday morning, and we were riding while y'all was having services, because we got there at 11:30. So it takes you almost 3 hours to drive. And Brother Reed said, I pulled it up on the GPS system and looked at it. Yeah, no, that's inward, that shorter part. Tip to tip would take you 5 hours probably. They got a nice road now opening up. Eventually they'll have it where you can travel a big part of it. But the roads are so crooked and all, that Brother Reed pulled it up on a GPS thing, and the Brother Bartley's church was only 37 miles. You know, but it takes you over 2 hours to get there, to go 37 miles, because you're going like this all the time, and then all of the potholes in the road and everything else, you know, it wears you out, just beating you around, just bouncing up and down and revving up and going and then slowing down and up and backwards and forth. But anyhow, we got over there, and I started preaching at 1 o'clock. So y'all were already breaking between the two services before I ever got in the pulpit, because they're having kind of, you know, they had 5 churches got together, two from Brother Lewis, Brother Bartley's, and Brother Reed's. I guess that was four churches got together. And anyhow, they want everybody to sing, you know, and do their specials and things like that. But, you know, like I say, and I got an opportunity to get me off the hook with Brother Lewis anyway, because Brother Reed told me, he said, Brother Dale, is it all right with you if we, he told me this before I came over, you know, he said, is it all right with you if we go over there to Ginger Hill? He said, you know, Brother Lewis pastors Ginger Hill, and said, you know, he wants us to come over and have a meeting. I said, well, thank you, brother, because that's getting me off the hook. Because, you know, I'd been promising him that I'd come, but it's hard to do. You can't, when you get there, you're limited for time, and you're running backwards and forth and everything. But, you know, in fellowship, and we went over to see on Saturday. We drove over to Brother Brady's to see, and that's, you know, that's an hour and 45 minutes or something drive. And we drove over there Saturday to see Sister Brady and pray for her, because she is very, very low. And I would say, and I don't think I'd miss it much, you know, I'm not saying anything, she's pretty good sizable, tall, you know, a little big, you know, tall and all, but I'd say she probably didn't weigh 100 pounds. But, you know, and she's already went through a whole bunch of treatments of radium and chemotherapy, and now they're trying to decide what else they can do. But even the other breast that they had taken off is not even healed up either. So just pray for her. She looked real bad. Her mind was still sharp. She was still talking and everything, you know, and fellowship with us and all, and talking about things around there about it, and asking how everybody was here, you know. And, but, you know, just pray. I really, with all due respect, I wish I hadn't went. But I needed to go, you know, to be there and be respectable. But to see her, I'd rather see somebody and remember them as they were, instead of seeing them in a bad position like that. And all of her hair's coming out, all the things are taking place. But anyhow, we did have an opportunity to go over there, so that was good too. But on Sunday, you know, I preached on Sunday morning and I kind of preached backward from what I was preaching here, but it was just the way it lined up. I started in Revelation chapter 5, went back to chapter 4, and back to chapter 1. See, it's kind of that away, you know, tying together all the things, and they were rejoicing, especially when I got on to the part, you know, about when he turned to see the voice, when they were really upward and going, you know, and all of that, and it really helped them. But then in the afternoon, I told them I was going back the other way. I said, if you can't preach something going backwards, or preach it going forward, you need to know both ways. So, you know, they really enjoyed it, because I had a lot of quotes, but I didn't do a lot of reading. I just done a lot of preaching and read the scriptures, and, you know, and went through how that the one in Revelations 1, you know, was the one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps with the golden girdle. Then go on over to Revelations 5 and pick up the Lamb, and how that lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. And that's a funny looking lamb, because where did the lamb come from? It come from the church ages. It's produced by the people, and that was really a rejoicing time when I got to that point of preaching about the people and who we are, and recognizing our position in Christ. And it, you know, it was good. We had a good time. Had to sit around all day over there out in the open, because there's no air conditioning, but it was good weather, about 80 degrees, and, you know, kind of a breezy like on the hills and things, and not too bad. But, you know, after all the doings, and I had to go and ride, and, you know, and running backwards and forth, and I finally wound up back up home Monday morning, I think it was, or Monday night, it was 11 o'clock when I got back in. So, you know, I had all day time on Monday just traveling, because you got to go from one airport to another one and sit and wait and go to another and everything else. But it turned out good, and I had a good time. Amen. Just pray that the Lord would bless. He wants me to come back in May. And when I got home, Peggy was laying in bed talking a little bit, and she said, well, I hope you've got this out of your system for going. Said, and won't be going back. I said, probably won't till May, honey. She didn't say no more. But I told him I'd let him know for certain about it, you know. But he wants us to go up, and they really appreciate the tent. They were really, really, really thankful for the tent and everything. And Brother Reed was telling all of the, you know, announcing it to all of the churches of what the little church in Lula had done, had bought them a tent and everything. And they have it. They checked it out to make sure everything's there, but they haven't put it up yet. And they're going to put it up and have a dedicational service. But that's what they do with it. They just go to a town. That's what Ginger Hill, that's the way the church started. Wade and I were there and preached in the tent. And see, now there's a church there and everything. It was a, you know, it was an odd. And I told him, I said, do you realize that the last time that I was here on this hill, Wade preached about the revival for Jamaica, that Brother Branham saw the vision of the word and it going up the hills, you know. And I said, now we're back and there's a church sitting on this hill, you know. So that's what they do. They just go out and put up the tent, leave it for 2 or 3 weeks. If it turns out all right, they'll start trying to work a little more. If it don't, they pick it up, move it somewhere else, you know, set it up. And this time, it's going to be further than Ginger Hill. Because it's a town, they told me, it's on over another 40 miles or something. So it's going to be a four-hour drive or something. But, you know, and you think they won't do it?
Amen.
They do it every day.
Amen.
You know, Brother Reed said, that's rough on the body, but said, I do it. He said, if we try to limit it to 4 days in a week, but said 4 trips, you know, you're wrung out. The last time Wade and I were there together, it was 2 o'clock in the morning when we got back. We got in home at Brother Reed's the other night at 1 o'clock in the morning, but it was 2 o'clock that morning. We went to bed, jumped in bed, got up at 4 o'clock, and had to drive all the way back to Montego Bay, which is almost 3 hours, to get back over to catch the airplane. So, you know, you're always going. There's never a dull moment. You know, it's never a time to do anything. And then when you're sitting around, somebody won't talk to you. And you just have a good time fellowshipping and all like that. But it turned out good, and we appreciate everybody. Appreciate you because of your money that put it there and was able to do with the tent and the things and all like that. They really, really said to tell you, thank you very much for your concern for them. You know, and the Lord would bless you for that. All right? Amen. But just pray that the Lord would do. I don't know where we're going back in May. That'll be left up to Him. I just leave it up to the Lord. If He don't tell me not to go, I generally go. But sometimes I don't have what you call a direct leadership of, say, go. But when I don't have something telling me not to go, then I don't worry about it. I generally go on. And I've always seen the Lord bless, you know, and take care of everything. And I've never been concerned about anything like that anyway. Because that would... it would be good. Brother Lewis took about an hour telling about the time he was in the, you know, they locked him up about it wasn't his fault. You remember the friend of his or somebody wanted to buy a transmission, and he went down, you know, and with Brother Lewis. Well, Brother Lewis didn't make no commitment. Well, the man goes back over and says, Brother Lewis sent me out of the transmission. Well, you know, he just kind of let it go and gave him the transmission. Well, then a few days later, the man didn't get no money. So the only thing he could do was turn it over to Brother Lewis. Well, he just had a thing swore out for Brother Lewis to where he'd come get straightened up. Well, they throwed him in jail, if you remember the story. And they put him in jail, and they didn't have time on like Friday night or something. And they didn't have time to, the judge didn't want to fool with the rest of the cases. So he just said, lock them all up throughout the weekend. Well, they locked him up through the weekend, you know. And then here he is in prison preaching to the prisoners, and they even call for the old safari or what you call it, that hair cuts, you know, and hanging down, the cornrows is what I call it. And all of them, bunch of them in there like that, they even call for a barber. He got a lot of them under conviction. They call for a barber. And the barber come over in jail and cut some of their hair and fixed them. And some of them got released from their cases, and all kind of things happened. And now he's able to go back and do a little bit of prison work, which is taboo for anybody. There's nobody over there that does that except him going and doing the work like that. So, you know, he told about it, and I really enjoyed it. It was good, you know, him testifying about the things that had took place and how many had come out of the prison and what they were doing since he had been there and preached to them. Because you'd have to know Brother Lewis. He's a far ball on that. Now, he's a far ball when it comes to that. He wants to get out and go and do, and he's just nervous and just, you know, he's like that and just going away. But, you know, he's picked up a pretty good name among a lot of the people over there around, you know, and they got a lot of confidence in him. So that's the main thing, you know, doing. But anyhow, I got to hear that testimony. I'd heard it in bits and pieces over the years, but Brother Lewis is kind of, he likes to preach a little bit before the preacher comes out, about an hour. And then a little after the preacher quits, about an hour. But, you know, that's all right. That's just ways, different ways of people doing things. But you're just in a different country when you're there. Like Brother Reed says, Brother Dale, you don't understand. Us black folks is never on time. You know, I mean, it's never on time. Everything, you just when you get there, you're there. We were going one time over to Kingston to preach for Brother Seaton. Well, we was driving down through there, and I looked at my watch, and it was already time for church. You know, Brother Reed said, well, we haven't ate yet. And lo and behold, there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is a rare occasion. Now, there's a whole lot better now, okay? A lot of things are getting there, better cars, better things. But at that time, it was very rare to see a Kentucky Fried Chicken. You had to go to Kingston or Montego Bay and then Orchard Rios in the middle. You know, saw one, at that time, saw one Burger King or Burger Chef, one of the two. But anyhow, he said, let's just stop and eat. Well, we just pull in. Well, I'd look at my watch, you know, I said, it's time to start serving. He said, I don't worry about it. They'll be singing. That's when he told me, he said, Brother Dale, you don't understand us black folks. We ain't never on time. You know? So, you know, we wound up getting over there. They'd done been singing over well over an hour, and then sung another hour. And then finally I got to preach, you know, that's kind of a different world. It ain't like America. It's different. When you go there, you do their ways, and you do their things, and you eat their food, and everything like that. And most of the time, it's pretty good. Sometimes you get a hold of something that you don't wonder. You wondered outward now, not around, you know, not around Brother Reed or Brother Brady or none of them. They always cook real good, but you know, there's always goat. If you want to eat it, there's always goat, you know, and fish. And like of a morning, you get a fish about this long. You know, but it's got vegetables and rice and things. I can, you know, I have a good time eating. I don't worry about it. It goes pretty good. But anyhow, just pray for those people there, especially Sister Brady. Get her on your heart and just pray for her. That the Lord would touch her and make all things well, because it's a bad thing, you know, and doing it. But anyhow, I got a couple of things that I wanted to just make sure that we understand that. You know, that I spoke on, and then just move on into some things. Maybe Sunday we'll get down into searching the book and the things like that and the different things of what it is. But, you know, I want you to understand. Now, this is a scene in glory that we've read and we've been preaching on. I keep bringing that out. It's like a scene, you know. And that really helped there in Jamaica to be able to show them and then unfold it, you know, and move slowly and unfold it like that. Sister Reed was really enthused. We talked a good bit Monday, her Verona. They were really enthused talking with him about it. And come find out over there now, a lot of times, Brother Reed will admit it, a lot of times them sisters is a little bit sharper than some of the men. Now, that's no joke. You know, they catch on. And I find sometimes around here that's pretty well true too. That sometimes the sisters catch on a little. Sorry, brothers, for saying it. If you get offended, then do something about your side of it then. Because I'm just telling it like it is. But, you know, but see, we know that there's only one worthy. There's only one worthy. That's the title of the message, Thou Art Worthy. That'll be fine for tonight. But there's only one worthy. And it had to be Almighty God. Because no man was worthy. Right? Brother Branham, I gave you those quotes where he said Moses was there, Job was there, the prophets, the sages, the apostles that had died and all, they were there. Brother Branham wasn't worthy. See, everybody lays on the end time that Brother Branham broke the seals. No, Brother Branham didn't break the seals. The Lamb broke the seals and handed the revelation to the prophet. The prophet didn't break the seals. But yet we look at it like, you know, on that part. I want to make sure on this right here. We look at the book of, you know, that we've been talking about, the seals. And we say the book is sealed with seven seals. Well, I've tried to express to you that it's not a Bible, you know. like this. If it was, the prophet said it'd have seven straps on it. It's more of a scroll because that's the way the Old Testament writings were done, and even back in John and the Patmos and all, they were still using scrolls and did on down for a long time. But, see, it's the Bible. It's the Bible that was in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Now, not the Bible as what we see it like this. Because this Bible has within it Pharaoh, Judas, Balaam. But their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life that was slain before the foundation of the world. That book, Adam had the book. All right? Did you understand that? Adam had the book. So it wasn't like this thing. It's a list of the bride, a list of the people who are given eternal life while they're on the earth, and even those that will be given eternal life later. All right? See? It's not something that we look at it like sealed, something sealed up. It's the Bible. Well, I gave you a couple of quotes there where the prophet said it was the Bible that was laying on the throne. It's the Bible in the hand of the one on the throne. Turn this fan on up here, wait. It's cutting my voice off just a little bit with the heat, but you got to do it to stay warm. So, you know, some fans and some freezes, so don't worry about it. Just turn the fan, blow it back at you. It'll be all right. But see, no man was worthy. See, then if Jesus was just a man, as they're preaching, then he wouldn't be worthy. But now, if that man is Almighty God in human flesh, then he's worthy. God is worthy to take the book, because that's what I'm trying to get you to see. But that the book is the Bible. It's the list of names. Adam had that book because the prophet said once Adam and Eve sinned, said the book went back, said Satan couldn't take it, said the book went back to the hand of the original owner. All right. Now, he wasn't holding a Bible. Adam wasn't holding the Bible. Right? What did Adam lose? And you'll see it is the Bible. What did he lose? He lost the ability to bring forth what God had intended to be brought forth. But like Brother Richard Wilson, if you've been listening to him a lot lately, he's been preaching on it, that Bible, Adam would have brought that forth. The Book of Names. All that would ever be redeemed would have come forth. But sin entered the picture. Well, it didn't stop God from bringing forth. It just changed the way he brought it. It just put it in a condition. And then now, as Brother Richard says, I've preached on it, all of us have. Now, the foolish virgins, the different ones that can be given eternal life, those people wouldn't have come had there not been a fall. So there's going to be a lot of people in heaven because you failed. But see, get what I'm talking about. When Adam failed, he didn't have a book to go over and hand it back. God didn't come down and grab a book out of his hand and jerk it out and go. He lost the ability to bring forth the way that God intended it to be done. See, then it had to come up into a secondary way. And then you have the writing of what you call, now that we call the Bible. Because you have Moses writing the first five books and telling what happened in Genesis, and the things. But see, still even the one sitting on the throne is not sitting up there with a book. He doesn't have to have the book. It's just a point that you're making. It's not something that you got to do. Now, get this statement, because this is one of the things I want to cover. Actually, the Bible that we have, do you know where it's sealed at? It's sealed by the book of Revelations. See, if we don't understand the book of Revelations, and that's what Satan always told us to stay out of. See, he told us to stay out of Genesis and stay out of the book of Revelation. Well, see, since the prophet has come and given us the correct interpretation of the symbols and the types and the shadows, see, Satan don't want you to read the book of Revelation because it shows you who you are. The rest of the Bible is sealed by the book of Revelation. All right, it's the life book in the Bible, right? Placed there, the prophet said, to where that it would be the finality of all things. Well, see, think about it then. We could read the Bible. You know, we could read and preach about the things in the book because the apostles, they read it. And I mean, they had it. They wrote it. And they could do that. And we could read it. We could even turn over in Revelation 6. And we could even read the seals. If we had enough human ability to open it and eyesight and readability to where we could read, we could do that. But yet, it could not be made known to us like that. That was where our trouble was. We thought that was what it was. But that is only to bring the revelation to you. That's why I'm saying that the Bible is actually sealed by the book of Revelation. But the prophet, when he came and broke those symbols, now the book is not sealed anymore. Well, we don't understand what this is. Well, it's because that you haven't made yourself available to what the prophet has said is the reason you say those statements. I'm saying that for people out on the internet to where they hear it, you know. And just to hear somebody, just sitting back there and just weep for somebody to send you a notice and say, Brother Dale, the seals, that it opened. And even give you quotes that we gave. You know, one I got one at what Wade gave back there. And just quotes that they'll give you, you know, that you know they actually have heard. Well, see, that's a wonderful thing. To be able to hear the people and know that they're picking up on things. And to see in things. That thrills our heart. That's why we go and do and do as much as we can to try to get it out there to them. Well, see, how many of you, before you started coming around here, ever even thought about the seals as being a Bible? That was sealed up, not with straps around it, not with something like seals on it, but it was the fact that it had not been made known. It had not been made known to us what was in the book. But yet it didn't change anything. Brother Branham, when he came, it never changed the letter of the writing of the book, did it? What happened? God revealed to him what was being said. See, now he must reveal to you and I what's being said. See, then you can take the Bible and read it now. Now, you'd be surprised what I'm trying to say. Because used to, we'd read back here, we didn't understand. We would read these things, you know, and we'd even read the disciples and their writings, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We didn't have much understanding, right? We might have had a lot of memory. But see, since coming in the message, and like I told the people over there, I said, surely we ought to have answers to somebody. I mean, a few questions. After being in the message for 41 years, I ought to at least know a little bit about it, you know. But I find people that are in the message for 30, 40 years and they don't know anything about what Brother Brown said. What went wrong? Why didn't they read? We've had the message all of those years. You know. I mean, we could memorize it easily by then if you try. But see, people don't realize that this Bible, like I said, it's sealed up. The Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. No man can call Jesus the Christ except what? Except by the Holy Spirit. Right? Well, see, then anybody can say, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. But that's not made alive. And see, no man can call Jesus the Christ except by the Holy Spirit, except by the new birth. That's why the new birth is the most important thing that there is to any of us. Is that we need the new birth because that Holy Spirit is the only, I gave you one there on Christ the mystery of God revealed, where the Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the Word. The Lamb couldn't reveal it. Until the Lamb became on the throne, He could not reveal. That's why He had to get up on the throne. Faced 25 souls in prison. He took the book, climbed up on the throne, and sat down. That was the only way He could reveal it. Even though then He was the one that would be worthy to take the book and to loose the seal. He couldn't do that in His earthly work upon earth because He preached six seals in Matthew 24. Come on. Matthew 24, He preached six seals. Who knew anything about that? Now, I remember being back there with parts of it, and the people taught the sixth seal is they could kind of see that was kind of like the tribulation because they could see the wrath of God poured out. But that's the only one they could have any much understanding about. But see, this Bible is the book I'm concerned about being sealed. Because I'm not going up to heaven to find out some kind of a book sitting up there that I got to have. And that wasn't what Brother Branham done. It was the Holy Spirit. He said, on the first seal, He said, I'd have made a horrible mistake today. Now, as great as He was, go read it. He said, the Holy Spirit came in the room and corrected me on something I was going to write down. He said, I was going to approach it by my old notes. You see, the Holy Spirit come down and showed Him that wasn't right. Because on His old notes, He taught the white horse rider as Jesus Christ. Church ages and things. Go in your church age, not church age book now, church age individual. He taught it in there. That the white horse rider was Jesus Christ. All right. But see, then when the seal was taken off the book, have you ever noticed this statement? Brother Brown said, one seal will tie the entire Bible together. Now what's he talking about? One seal will tie the entire Bible together. Because it's a revelation of the book that you're talking about. The book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne is the Bible. Now I've emphasized that over and over. Not a King James Version or a Thompson chain or a Bible like this. Scofield or something like that. It's the book of redemption. It's the plan of redemption. But there was things that wasn't understood down through time. And even the apostles never caught the redemption of the body in a phase to try to bring it forth. Even Paul would say, did you be chained a moment between the night? He was pointing to a later date. He was pointing to a later time to come, right? 2,000 years later, you'd begin to understand what he was saying back there in prophecy. All right? But he didn't understand the Son of Man. If he had, he'd have spoke of it. See? Don't you think he knew who that lamb was that took the book? Don't you think that he could, after he never got to read it, but don't you think he knew who the Lamb of God was that take away the sin of the world? He knew Jesus Christ and who He was and explained Him as Melchizedek and coming down. But yet, He never received anything for the redemption of the body. He received the revelation for the new birth, for the stature of a perfect man, to bring us to the position where the faith of the fathers, but He never received the revelation of those seals. You say, well, He died before they come. Well, He didn't die before Jesus preached it. Jesus preached it in Matthew 24. But yet nobody knew that was what it was until the prophet came. Then he told us where Jesus was preaching. He preached six seals, Matthew 24. Those six seals, now listen. Doesn't the Bible say seal up? Wasn't it told Daniel, seal up those things? Until the time? Well, see, where was it sealed up? See, when Jesus preached six seals in Matthew 24, it was sealed up in there, the plan of redemption for the body. But permitted for the Son of God to bring forth the redemption for the soul, the life of the individual, the living, but yet not taking it on to the change of the body. That was in the Bible. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's the point I want you to see tonight. He's worthy. Why? Because He has given us this revelation. Amen. Amen. Peter said, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right. Prophesying of something to come in the end time. And see, we're here at that time. You remember the message I preached about us being a blessed people? Right. It's blessed to just be able to read. Right. Blessed to have heard this message. But what about a group of people that can receive this message and walk therein? See, then that puts it in the category to where you and I, we don't have to go somewhere and find some plates like Joseph Smith. Brother Branham didn't play with some gimmicks like that. Then he claimed he went out in the desert somewhere and dug up some plates, and or in his cave up there, and he dug up some plates. The Holy Spirit directed him. That angel that come to Brother Branham turned him right back into the Scriptures. Amen. Right? Amen. When the seals broke, he didn't turn him out to somewhere else right. And tell him to go dig up something and bring it to us. Right. The Bible's not sealed like seals. It's not even bound like that. Anybody with any human ability, of course God has to give it to you, we know that. But anybody with human ability can open it. If you've been to school long enough to be able to, you can read it. Right? But it still takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it. If the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it, the book's still sealed. It's sealed by the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation then has within it the complete plan of redemption. For body, spirit, soul, world, everything is in the book of Revelation. And that's what I've been trying to get you to see, chapter 1 through 5. I mentioned that over there to them. They looked at me, you know, and then they began to rejoice. I said, show me the corporal human body of the Lord Jesus Christ anywhere in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Then I just stopped. And they waited for a minute. But I said, He's there in bride form. Amen. The Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Right. Come from the church ages, the prophet said. Right. Then they begin to rejoice, see, because they knew what I was talking about. Right. See, you can't find Him there like that. He's there in bride form. That's like I told you the other day. We're not going to Israel. That's been taught in the message, you know, especially by the man that believed the Holy Ghost doctrine. He believed he would be the prophet and the bride would be the second prophet, and that'd be the two prophets to go to Israel. I mean, that's what he believed. He told us. I told him blunt, right to his face, quoted Brother Branham. I said, there'd be two Jews. You don't think it'd be a Gentile prophet and a Gentile bride? I said, no. Because I knew he wasn't talking about Brother Branham as a Gentile prophet. I knew who he was talking about. And I said, no, sir. I said, the prophet said it would be two Jews, two prophets, Moses and Elijah. Well, of course, he just blowed me off and just went right on his way and, you know, didn't change him. Why? Because it wasn't revealed to him. It wasn't revealed to him Because he wasn't concerned of finding that Moses and Elijah would be the ones who would go. He was trying to find that he could go and take the bride. But see, the Bible is not just, it's a record book of life. Because that's where it'll be at the White Throne Judgment. Because that's why it says there, there'll be books, plural. Brother Brown said one of them is the book of life, book of living. This Bible tells you where you're at, tells the day that we're living in, right? This is the only age that God is outside the door, right? We can read those things. This is the only age that you're blind, miserable, naked, and don't know it. We can read it and see the very age we're living in. But yet, still, it's the record of eternal life. Amen. That's the part that was in the hand of Adam, was the ability to bring forth. And you know what I said years ago, and I still believe it. Even if Adam and Eve, even if sin hadn't entered the picture, Adam and Eve's body wasn't eternal. It was created. He just knew that his youth was being renewed, the prophet said. In other words, he wouldn't get no older. He just stayed there. He wouldn't get no older. But if they had spoke us into existence or brought us into existence by the natural act, irregardless of how we'd come, we wouldn't have an eternal body. God could give us a soul eternal, give us a spirit eternal, but we'd still be in a body. We'd have still had to went to the tree of life because the tree of life was already placed there. The tree of life was placed there in the garden. We'd have still had to went to the tree of life. The tree of life was the word that was in the garden. What is it now? What are you doing? You're eating your way back. As you eat this Bible, as you eat this message, you're eating your way back to eternity, to where you should have been in the beginning. You see what I'm talking about? It's the Bible. Adam forfeited the ability to bring forth. Brother Brown said he lost the title to eternal life and the world, or earth, he said. So evidently it would have been there for them to be brought forth. He was the God of the earth, wasn't he? Where did he get all them names for all them animals? How many trillions of animals are there in the world? You know, different kinds. And he named every one of them. But you see, he lost the ability to bring forth. Brought us into carnality of the human mind. And the carnality of the human mind blocks us out. And then when we see seals, we see something that the Bible now, my brother, the Bible's sealed up. It's not sealed up like that. You can read it. You can read it if you have the ability. But what's sealed up is the revelation. That's why John, there on the Isle of Patmos, the first thing is the revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John. It's revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible, the book, all right? See? I've tried to express that. That's why it says that the one worthy was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Did you understand that? The proclamation was that the Lion of the tribe of Judah was able. But when he looked, he saw a lamb with the seven horns and seven eyes. Do you understand what that means? John knew Jesus come from the tribe of Judah. I don't know where John come from that. I've never remember reading where it did. But I know one thing too. Judas come from the same tribe. The prophet said that. He said Judas come from the tribe of Judah too. That didn't do any good to coming from Judah. It was the lawgiver that was coming from Judah, because Jesus never had no connection to the earthly elements. You run your lineage down and it comes to Mary. No, comes to Joseph. He comes to Joseph. We know Joseph wasn't his father. But see, the one I'm talking about, worthy, is the one. Now get to the point of what I'm saying, and I'll just go a few words and quit. See, when that lamb took the book, climbed up on the throne and sat down, he became Almighty God made manifest. Then he could reveal. Because only God can reveal those seals. Brother Brown said, Jesus on earth said, I can't show you anything. The Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the Word. See, Jesus said, they said, you're the teacher. He said, I'm not the teacher. Come on, Jesus said, I'm not the teacher. He said, the Holy Ghost is the teacher. He said, I'm the Lamb that come to die for sins. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. He said, now I come to make way for the Holy Ghost to come. The Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the Word. Now, if that Lamb hadn't become one with the Holy Ghost, he can't reveal anything to you. Right? But if he's one with the Holy Ghost, then the Lamb and the Holy Ghost is the self-same person. Sitting on that throne is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I was illustrating that over to them about the throne, and I had this little brother to come up and sit down a chair, you know, and I said, just put the chair down. He started to leave. I said, don't leave. I said, all right. Now, there's the throne that we read of in heaven, you know, in Revelations 4 and 5. I said, all right, brother, come here. Sit down. Well, he sat down. I said, now there is one sitting on the throne. So that's the Father's throne, and that represents Almighty God. And I said, look, in his hand he's got a Bible. And I said, a carnal comparison to what you're seeing. But the Lamb come forth and took the book and climbed up on the throne and sat down. I just went down over and sat down in the brother's lap. I said, you know, it's getting pretty crowded on that throne, ain't it, brother? But see, it's the revelation of one true and living God. To show you who is on the throne of your heart. You remember, I preached a service on that. Who's on the throne in your heart? It better be the same one that's on the throne in glory. But see, that book is the Bible. At that Lamb, he was doing the redemptive work of Calvary in the thing. Now listen. The way I hear most people talk about seals and the things they are, you're going to have. Now listen, I don't agree with this. Now I'm just telling you what I hear people preach. What I've heard people preach about the seals and the thing, you know what I think of? Either they're saying Brother Branham is the Lamb because he took the book and opened the seals. Or they're saying their oneness that Jesus, the flesh, took the book and opened the seals. When those seven angels come to Brother Branham out there in Tucson, Arizona, I'll be glad to find you the quotes. They didn't reveal a thing to him. But everybody thinks he was taken up in there and the seals was broke. He said they didn't reveal a thing. When he got on the first seal, he said, I don't know what the second seal is. Because see, what he said, that voice from heaven, you know, out of those seven angels, said, told him one thing. Go back to Jeffersonville. It'll be told you later what to do. He was going to preach the White Horse Rider as the Holy Ghost. The seal hadn't broke to him. Even though he'd been took up into that realm and all of the things that took place, yet he still didn't see it. Church, has the book been revealed to you? I just don't understand it. Most people come in the message, they throw the Bible away. They throw the Bible away and just read what the prophet said. Well, that's all right for a while because that's what I done. I don't mean I throw it away. I still read. Yeah, I still read my Bible, but I read the prophet's message more. And I probably now still read more of the prophet's message on a whole scale as I do say in the time that I spend reading the Bible. But he's turned me back to the book. And if I can't find it in this book, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. It's in Psalms. But the Bible said the Lord went up with a shout. Well, Thessalonians said he descended. Right. He descends and then he goes up with you and me. So both scriptures is right. That's why I love the scripture. It said the Lord went up with a shout. That's where you and I, that's us now, we're going to go up. And I'm going to say this part about the Lamb. It's your revelation that's going to Israel. Not you. The revelation you have of one true and living God is what's going to Israel through two prophets. About 490-something of the seal book, the prophet said, God says to them Jews, you missed it. Said it was promised to you, but you wouldn't take it. And said, it has been given to the Gentiles, and they have become the children of God, and now you're in the tribulation period because of your rejection. What's going to Israel? It's not going to be me and you going to Israel. But what's going to Israel? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, won't they have to tell them about the bride becoming one with God? Because Brother Branham said she's part of the mystery. Page 74, Christ the mystery. She's part of the mystery, must be revealed. They're not going over there and take a bunch of Brother Branham's books and pass them out. They've already got that. Brother Perry Green and them has flooded that country of Israel years ago with the thing. They even had the message on the news, you know, on the TV and things of Brother Branham talking about Israel. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is keeping you and I from walking off of this earth? It's because we're not putting our emphasis back into seeing who we are by the book. We're not trying to find ourselves in the book. We're trying to find out some secret thing that Brother Branham said somewhere that will take us out of here. You remember when they found those last 24 tapes? Boy, everybody, have you heard them 24 tapes? Have you heard them 24 tapes? I said, no, we hadn't got them yet. I've ordered them. And when I get them, I listen to them. But see, to them, it's in them 24 tapes. It's somewhere in them 24 tapes. See? Trying to find some way to make a rapture take place. When it's the Holy Ghost revealing the Word. There's your rapture. There's your caught up. That's why the word rapture is not there. Because rapture signifies going from this dimension to another. Whereas caught up means that you're caught up in or resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. But you see what I've been trying to bring to you? The Bible is the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. And the Bible, the book, this book is sealed with the book of Revelations, because until that was broke of the book of Revelations, you're only presuming it at the other thing. And Brother Brandon said, if that seventh seal ain't broke, we're only presuming. See, that's why one group of people says the seals is broke, the other group says it's not broke. The ones that says it's broke, it's because Brother Branham preached it. In other words, you can just see, if you think back with me, I try to get you to think back with me where that you were in the churches you was in and what they were talking about sealed. You had your idea set that somewhere maybe Brother Branham went up and done something. Maybe he went up and tore off this or done that. I know the first church I was in, the man was quoting page 25 of Souls in Prison, where Brother Branham was talking about, said the Lamb climbed up, sat on the throne, took the book, went, climbed up on the throne, sat down, goes on down another paragraph or two and says, I'm the one that did it. And the brother said, we was riding down the road, and the brother said, look at that. That he said he is one that did it. I said, yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that done it. Of course, he cut that off because that wasn't what he was talking about. He was talking about Brother Branham's one that did it. But Brother Branham wasn't the one that done it. Brother Branham didn't break no seals. There wasn't no seals to go up to heaven and to be ripped off of a book. It's being ripped off in your mind. It's taken off of this book. The things that kept us from understanding the book. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me get the last couple. It's not been seals on the book. It's been the Holy Ghost holding back until the end time the revelations in the book. The Holy Ghost was waiting until a prophet would come forth to word that he could reveal that. It was the Holy Ghost that revealed the seals. It's the Holy Ghost that reveals it to you and me. That's why the Holy Ghost, church, we've got to have it or we're going to be lost. We're lost already if we don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Don't never stop praying. Even after you've got the Holy Ghost, don't stop praying, because there's more of the Holy Ghost to come. I pray every day, God save me from myself, because I'm my biggest enemy. Deliver me from myself. Well, I don't pray like that because I saved a long time ago. That goes to prove you wasn't saved a long time ago. That's the best way for me to say it. Now you get upset with me. You wasn't saved a long time ago, because if you're saved a long time ago, you'd be just like me. You'd be crying out for more of God. You want the quote? Brother Rand said they were crying out for more in the book of Acts. Now didn't they have the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the faith of the fathers? But he said they were crying out for more in the book of Acts. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that the Holy Ghost has not let nobody know about. Until his prophet stepped on the earth. That's why it's so connected over with when that man does bow down. John does. That's why it's connected so close. Because it did take a prophet. Brother Branham on the sea. Now he'd been a prophet all his life, wasn't he? Wasn't he born a prophet? But when he came to the seals, he said, now it's just arrived. Go back and read the breach and see if I'm right. If it ain't, go on the first seal and start off reading. He said, it's just arrived. What's just arrived? Not that he'd just become a prophet. But the message that he was to bring, which is showing the book is open. His message showed us the book was open. We don't have to have a new book. We just believe what God has already said to us. The simplicity of the gospel, that was the first message. God in simplicity. He got over to Revelations 5, page 109, seal book. He said, this is actually the breaking of the seal. I'll drop back on that later, probably. He said, this is actually the breaking of the seal. What, in Revelation 5? See, we think it's over in 6. But see, we're still thinking the Lamb's got to go forward and get a book and rip something off the page. And then, no. It's not that. It's the plan of redemption handed down to the Seventh Church Age messenger. Amen. To reveal it, to speak to you and I, that the Holy Ghost can talk to us. See, no wonder he's worthy. Because of who he is. Brother Branham, I was reading it the other day, he said, that Lamb may proceed all the way from glory into your heart. We're thinking of a lamb, some kind of something. And he said, proceed all the way from glory into your heart. to bring you the revelation. Anybody that's ever had a revelation knows what I'm talking about. It's true about a revelation. You can read something over and over and over and read it every day, right? But then one day you read it and it just opens up. Why? Because it become a revelation. It become a revelation then. We could read the pages. We could read the seals. We could read all the way through the Bible. I had read the Bible many, many times before I come in the message. Hadn't you? But see, then when the message began to, the prophet began to speak, I saw the Bible in an entirely different light. What about you? But it was the same Bible. And I had a lot of the things underlined that I had read. But then I began to realize I should have underlined the rest of that, the whole paragraph, instead of just, you know, just the few words I had underlined. But I began to see what it was saying. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Because you took the book. You loosed the seals. Where did he loose them at? If he preached it in Matthew 24, he must have loosed it somewhere back there. Right? But it wouldn't made known until this end time. Come on, brother boy. Until this end time. Thou art worthy. The one I'm talking about is Almighty God. The one sitting on the throne in glory is the same one sitting in your heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is Almighty God. You're not going to take a spoken word book and go to Israel and convert those Jews. It won't work. But when two witnesses comes on the scene after we get out of here, maybe they're here now going about getting ready. I don't know. I ain't worried about it because I'm planning on being out of here when they begin to bring their ministry. See, when they do that, then they bring that lamb on the scene right down. They'll have the same thing the prophet of God had. What did he have? He had the sign of the Son of Man. Right? That's what followed Brother Branham, was the sign of the Son of Man. What? The sign of the resurrection. The same Lord Jesus back there living here. Same grain of wheat that was back there is now here in multiple form. The same ministry of Jesus Christ is here on earth again. Now here's where our problem is. See, people will say then, well, if the same ministry is here, where's the same signs? What are you talking about? Let me quote a few scriptures. He could not do many things in the city because of their unbelief. So he had to go out of the city. God himself couldn't do many miracles. Where would he be today? Where would he be today? See, when I was over there, got up on a Sunday night there in Jamaica. Service just got started. We could hear him outside, and this, you know, probably about 35-year-old guy or something. Probably neat looking, you know, not like all the other raggies looking around, but he was outside and he'd whistle, shrill whistle, you know, how a lot of people, he'd just do a shrill whistle, and then he'd holler, and he'd laugh, and he'd talk. We started the service. He come to the door and walked in. He whistled. He hollered. He talked. Some of them was fixing to get up. I said, leave him alone. I said, I'll take care of it. If I'd been sent, you'd think that worried me. Been over there before when I told you about the man that come in, you know. You come in three different doors, or three, one door, one out, come in another one, come back in that, and nobody in the building ever saw the man. But I did. A human man. He went out life and he went down the road. I said, leave him alone. So he'd wait a little while and then he'd just start talking, just loud, you know. I just kept right on preaching. Never just like I didn't, like he wasn't even there. Wasn't even looking at him. Just kept right. I didn't look at him, you know, hateful or nothing. I just kept right on preaching. He quit and stopped a little while. A little bit, he started back again. I just kept right on preaching while he's doing. You know what he finally done? He just finally pulled up a chair and sat down. I reckon he figured, I ain't going to bother the guy. Might as well sit down and listen. He just sat down and sat there for about probably, I guess he sat there 15, 20 minutes. And after a while, he finally got up. He started just talking again. I didn't pay no attention to him. Not real loud, everybody looking at him. I just went right on preaching just like he wasn't there. Just didn't, wouldn't even look at him, you know. He finally just walked out and went down out of the parking lot. When he did, I said, you see, I told you, leave him alone. I said, I was praying for him. I wasn't against him. The man needed help. I was praying for him. I wasn't upset with him. It didn't bother me no more than nothing. Some of you would jump up now and start saying, it would bother you, you know, because that's human when you're speaking. But it was just a calm there. And I knew they'd take him out. All I had to do was look, and they'd take him out. But I said, leave him alone. Maybe he needed to sit down and listen. But what did the prophet say about the Bible where it says, resist the devil? And he'll flee from you. What did he say that was? He said, just turn him down. See, if I'd have got to fussing with the guy, he'd have just got louder. But I wouldn't even look at him. I just kept looking around over the congregation, just preaching away, just like he wouldn't even die. But see, at the same time, I was saying, God, be, you know, don't let me do anything, Lord. That's just a human man. Forgive him. But he finally just walked out and left. You see, when you go and you believe it, and you believe you're going in God's name, don't you worry about it. All is well. Yeah, let's stand together. Who's worthy? Almighty God. Almighty God. 224 in the red book. Anybody have a need? Before me, and with His loving hand. 224. And with each breath, amen. Let's believe in God, it does that.
Maybe the reason that they're going on around here is because we need to
right now. Right. Let's believe all is well. Father, our brother's going for tests tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And Lord, we just ask you that all things be well. And they won't find anything whatsoever wrong with our brother.
Thank you.
Lord, doing that, then we ask you to take away the symptoms of the human body and make all things well. Thank you for the testimony, and we believe it. We love you, Father. In Jesus is your name. Amen. Go. Hey, the last day. will be taken. Each step I take. Just believe. See, for that man, for the service, right when it first started, they brought up Brother Wayne's baby. He'd had a high temperature, had been sick all day, I knew. Tough little buddy. He was just, you know, he was just a little, about 2 years old, and just tough as shoe nails. Boy, just remind me of Zach. And, but they brought him in. He was real sick, in a high temperature. We went down and prayed for him. I laid my hands on him and prayed. And I just felt the temperature go out. I'm just glad he done that before the service. Because when that man come in then, I didn't have any problem. I told them, I said, that baby's fine. I said, the temperature just went out of it. See, it's believing him. And let him make manifest what you believe. Anybody else that have a need? Just leads me closer home. Sing that last one. I trust in God, no matter come what may. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our brother has a knot here on his hand. We condemn that under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we believe that by your stripes he's healed. And he said you've touched him many times before. So now here it is again. We believe you, Father. We love you and we thank you. And we pray that you would just make manifest yourself. That your love would be in your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just believe it. Believe and see. Just believe. We're not supposed to be super duper human beings. Elijah wasn't a super duper human being. He was a man that trusted God. He was a man that trusted God. What about you? R288. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet there, trumpets will sound. Amen. Our brother standing for Brother Collie, he's got the flu. So let's believe. All right. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our brother has come to ask for Brother Collie with this old flu. We pray that, Lord Jesus, that you would come on the scene there and just manifest yourself now in the healing virtues and let the testimony come forth that all is well and all at the time and everything exactly to what the time is, to know that all is well and it begin to mend. Because we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night on. Many will meet her, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. But rise. Why? Because we're raising now, because the one that will raise us is inside of us. Troubles will soon be over, happy forever. When we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up. Anybody else have a need? Telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly. Glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night. Many will meet there, trumpets will sound, dead shall rise in the sky, going where no one dies. Sing that unto him as you're going. Jesus is come. Father, just bless the people on the way home in Jesus.